We finished here a while back in 2 Corinthians. We preached through 1 Corinthians. We preached through 2 Corinthians. And tonight we're going to start on preaching through Galatians. Now you say, well, Reggie, I thought we was in Isaiah. We are. And we're all over. The Bible said, preach the word, amen. Preach the whole counsel of God. And but anyway, Galatians, we're going to start preaching through it tonight, and we're going to try to move fast. Now, I'm going to do something. I don't want anybody to think I'm being smart or arrogant or nothing, because I'm honest to goodness not. But I don't know why, but it's on my heart a lot about God calling men to preach. I want to say some things about it tonight. Somebody says, well, Reggie, how do you get a message together? Well, I'm going to do something tonight to show how to preach. Okay, I'm going to show you how to preach. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. We'd be better off a lot of times to quit trying to get 3 points in a poem and just go verse by verse through a chapter. I call it grazing through the Bible. But if you're tonight, you're sitting out there and you're thinking about, boy, I don't know, the Lord may be calling me to preach. I want you tonight to pay attention to what I'm doing. You can start in a book and you start at verse number 1 in chapter 1 and just go through there. And if something don't come in that verse, try another verse. Keep moving. Amen. And I'll tell you what, God will help you. And so I just want you to think, I don't know why exactly I'm saying this, but I want to encourage you. Preachers, I think, need to preach through books. They need to go verse by verse. They need to preach subject by subject. And here's another big one, is associate scripture together. If you're preaching in the New Testament, then let the Holy Ghost take you back in the Old Testament for examples and analogies and things of what the doctrine that he's teaching in the New Testament. Okay, if you're preaching in the Old Testament, go up to the New Testament and look for doctrinal teaching to reinforce what you're preaching in the Old Testament and bring them together like that. And so anyway, and then the other thing is there's no substitute for having the Spirit of God, the grace of God, and the power of God that comes through prayer and seeking the Lord. And I'm an old time believer that you need the anointing. Somebody says, what is it? I don't know, but I know what it ain't. I know when I don't have it. I'm an old-time believer in unction. That unction is power from God. That here's what it is. It is when the Holy Ghost is bearing witness to you while the preacher's preaching that what he's saying is the truth, and you better listen to it. And when you're right with God, he's preaching, it thrills your soul. And when you ain't right with God, it convicts your soul. And God's working in your heart and your life, and you're preaching on Christ, and your soul starts thrilling because of what Jesus did for you. And it lifts you up in worship to the Lord. And those things ought to accompany preaching. But anyway, we're going to take off tonight. Now, I'm just going to ask you a question. I'm going to tell you a little story. A guy got saved. Oh, he got gloriously saved. And about 3 weeks later, he just caved in and he went and bought a can of Skol. And he dipped Skol. And he spit Skol all day long. The question I ask you tonight, did he lose his salvation? Okay, you just be thinking on that now, all right? Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to preach a happy message tonight. The book of Galatians has the word liberty in it 11 times. The word liberty is a theme through this book. Martin Luther. It set him free from the Catholic Church, this book right here. And I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. I'm telling you what is the most wonderful book, and I get a kick out of it, and because it'll set you free. I mean, it'll set you free, and I want you to get into it. Now, here we go. Lord, help us preach tonight. Chapter 1, Paul, an apostle. Now, an apostle was one who had to see. Now, this is how I preach. An apostle is one who had to see the risen Lord. Now, when you turn on your TV and somebody says, I'm apostle so-and-so, they're lying to you. They're not an apostle. There are no living apostles on the face of the earth today. The Bible says they had to see the risen living Savior. The Apostle Paul saw Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and he verified that, used that in the verification of his apostle. Okay? Now, especially when that woman gets up and tells you that she's an apostle. I can't hardly pronounce that. She's an apostle. Amen. She ain't either. She's lying to you. Amen. I get tickled at the old boy. He called one of them up one time. She claimed she knew everything and she could predict your future and everything. So he called her up and he said, I want you to tell me my future. And she said, well, tell me your name. She says, no, you tell me my name. Amen. I'll tell you what, they don't take long to put them out. I got tickled. You see that young lady here recently, that a couple of these here Antifa BML types, you know, seen her, and they said, "Are you, you mean to tell me you're voting for Trump?" And she said, "I sure am." "You're a racist." And she said, "Are you voting for Biden?" They said, "Yes." She said, "You're a pedophile." Amen. You got to get them, amen. You got to come back. I mean, I'm going to tell you what, they're stupid, amen. I mean, I can't believe it's stupid. We're living in stupid land. But anyway, Paul, an apostle, I don't know, don't do this kind of preaching, though. Don't do that, all right? Paul, an apostle. Now, watch this. Not of men. Neither by men. I'm talking this morning about who will go, who Christ calling, and who will go for me, and whom shall I send? And he said, "Here am I, send me." There's one thing you need to make sure: if God calls you to preach, make sure it's God calls you, and not preacher called, not mommy called, not daddy called, not uncle called, not denominational called, but God calls you. Because if God don't call you, you're in big trouble. I hate to tell you. Amen. But if God calls you, he'll always be with you. Now, I'm telling you right now, this is exciting me. He said, "Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead." Boy, I mean, tell you what, he don't even get out of the chute. You ever watch a bucking bull? Man, I'm telling you, I kind of like to watch them guys ride them bulls. Now, those guys are idiots, but I like to watch them. Amen. You climb on the back of a 2,000-pound bull with horns on him, you crazy. With a rope tied around him to make him jump like a wild banana. I'm telling you what, goodness sakes alive. I mean, but I like to watch him come out of the chute a bucking, amen. But I want to tell you, Paul comes out of the chute bucking. He comes out preaching on the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the basis for his salvation. And then he said, verse number 2, "And all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia." Galatia was an area of Gentile people. They were kind of out of the old barbaric people. And they weren't the normal Roman and Greek Gentiles. They were worse than that. These were people, barbaric people, that he had led to Christ, established several churches, and he's writing in this letter. Now, he said there, verse number 3, I love this. This is the way he starts almost all of his epistles. He said, "Grace be to you." Now, I want you to notice something tonight. He didn't say grace and law be to you. He didn't say grace and works be to you. He didn't say grace and performance be to you. He didn't say grace and this and grace and that. And grace. He said, "Grace be unto you." Now, grace is the unmerited favor of God. It's the desire and power that God gives anybody to do anything God tells them to do. When you got saved, did you know that it was by the grace of God? That's the only way you can get saved. And God gave you the grace to repent. God gave you the grace to have a godly sorrow. You didn't get that on your own. God's grace came to you and convicted you and made you see that you were lost and made you see you need a Savior. And He gave you the desire to repent and the power to repent. You didn't have the desire. You didn't have the power. Then he gave you the desire and the power to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the salvation is of the Lord. That's all the way through the Bible. And even your repentance is of God's grace. I'm telling you, salvation is by grace. And he said, it's grace to you. And here's the thing that comes after grace is peace. But you can't have peace till you experience grace. He said, "Grace be unto peace." What's this? What's this? What's this? From God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to get peace anywhere else in the world. There ain't no peace in this country. Amen. Amen. There ain't no peace in the average home. There ain't no peace in the average family. There ain't no peace in the average church. But I'm going to tell you something you can have. You can have peace in here, and it comes from God Almighty, and it comes through grace. And you can, I'm telling you, the world can be falling down around you, and you can take a walk and talk to God and have peace in your heart. You know what? I'm going to lay my head on my pillow tonight, and I'm not worried about where I'm going to spend eternity, because I have grace, the grace of God in my heart, and that grace of God gives me peace, and it comes from God. And if it comes from God, you can't take it away from me. Amen. I'm telling you, this world needs peace, amen. You won't pop near as many pills if you have peace. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, peace is a wonderful thing. peace I give unto you. My peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God can give you peace. And he said that comes through that grace. And he said it comes from the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, then he said, so verse number three, he starts this issue of grace. Now, this whole book is about grace as opposed to works, or grace as opposed to law, and especially about mingling the two together. Now, this is dangerous stuff. It's serious stuff, but it's exciting stuff. It's freeing stuff. And he said there further. Now, let me tell you about grace. We need to keep grace simple. Amen. We need to keep salvation simple. Don't make salvation a maze and a corn patch where you got to try to figure out where to come out on the other end. You know, did you know the Bible said, beware lest you get away from the simplicity that's in Christ? The gospel's simple. I'm a sinner. God loved me, sent his son to die in my place for my sin. If I repent of my sin and place my faith in Jesus Christ, God saved me. Period. Amen. The Philippian jailer fell down. Says, men and sirs, what must I do to be saved? I'm glad Paul didn't take him through a briar patch. Amen. I'm glad he didn't take him on a theological cruise. I'm glad he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy household. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'm a believer in grace. I hate works. I hate mixing. Works is wonderful. We're created unto good works. It's by the works that our light shines and the Father's glorified. But I'm not saved by any works I've ever done or ever will do. And I'm not saved by keeping the law. And I'm not saved by keeping some church's rules. Amen. All right, now you keep in mind my questions. Anybody remember the question I asked you? The skull question, you're right. Right back here. The skull question. The reason I use skull, because everybody around here uses skull, amen. Now I want to ask you a question. Can a man dip skull and go to heaven? Yeah. Woo! I tell you, it's funny to see the look in people's eyes. Let me think about that a while. Can a guy smoke? Do they still make Winston cigarettes? You don't know, Danny. You've been smoking them last time I see you. I'm going to ask you a question. Can a guy drink a little bit of wine every once in a while and still go to heaven? Better be thinking now. You be thinking, all right? Now, you just hang on to your hat. I like to make people a little bit edgy, okay? Just a little bit wondering about things, okay? At least keep you awake. I told Kenny he could go to sleep. But first of all, I'm telling you, we need to keep salvation simple. Don't make it a briar patch. Did you know there's a lot of men out here that won't even go to church and even try to think about getting saved because they've listened to so much garbage all their life about well, okay, I get saved, but then if I do this or this or this or this according to that group, I lose my salvation. So I don't think I could ever live it. How many has ever had somebody tell you, I don't think I could live it? Yeah. If you try winning souls, you'll hear it 1,000 times in a month. Yeah. And I don't want to be a hypocrite. All right, now let's keep trucking. The second thing about grace is it saves. Look at verse number 4. Who gave himself. Now here's the gospel. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. I'm telling you something. It does not say who gave himself for our sins and who teaches us to live good enough to keep saved, and adds nothing to that. Salvation on the grace of God is the fact that Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present world. Now you listen to me. Salvation is a deliverance. And the Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians about deliverance, the three deliverances of God, the deliverance from the penalty of sin, deliverance from the practice of sin, and ultimately the deliverance from the presence of sin when the Lord takes us out of here. But I'm telling you right now, it's saving grace. It's not just simple grace. It's saving grace. Amen? It's the grace of God. For by grace are you saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. All right? Now, the next thing he says, now, this is going to blow some of you out of the saddle. You're on your horse, but your feet's not in the stirrups right. And you're going to get blowed out. Verse number 5, he said this, the last part of verse number 4, I'm sorry. According to the will of God and our Father. That's sovereign grace. Now, if you don't believe in sovereign grace, you just don't believe the Bible. You say, what do you mean sovereign grace? That means that God is sovereign and he saves who he saves. The Bible teaches choosing. You can say, well, I don't understand it. I don't either, but I'm going to believe it. Do you know what Ruth said whenever Boaz gave her grace? Why have I found grace in thine eyes? You tell me why you're saved tonight and somebody else is not. You're going to find out in this book, is one of the things, theme of this book is that God is no respecter of persons. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you tonight, there's a sovereignness in the power of God. I don't understand all of it. Hey, I gave you a verse that'll blow your mind. The Bible says he created the wicked for the day of evil. You say, Reggie, explain that to me. He's sovereign. Did you know what? God can do what he wants. He doesn't ask me anything about it. He really does. All right? So I'm going to tell you tonight, I want you to be happy. If you're saved tonight, you are saved by grace. It's simple. I'm telling you what, it's a saving grace. It saves you. And I'm telling you something tonight, it's sovereign grace. And you know what you'll do? You spend the rest of your life in order to say, Lord, why did I find grace in thine eyes? That's what Ruth told Boaz. Boaz is a picture of Christ. Ruth's a picture of the church, the believer. And she said, why have I found grace? She was a Gentile dog. Do you know what? Is anybody in here, is everybody like me a Gentile in here tonight? I'm Gentile. I'm not a Jew. If you say you're a Jew, I want to know what tribe you're from too. But anyway, just kind of get you out there a little bit. But I'm telling you tonight, in the Bible, do you know what Gentiles were called in the Bible? Dogs. There was a time when God called Abraham out of Ur of Chaldees, started the Hebrew race with him. And everybody but him was a Gentile dog. You couldn't even go in the court. Or there was a court of the Gentiles. God grafted us back in. You tell me why. You tell me what you... I want to ask you a question. What did you ever do to make God... to cause God to give you grace? We say, I was a good boy. I was a good girl. No, you weren't. I went to church. I did this. And God gave me grace. That's not true. If that's so, then it wasn't grace that saved you. Because grace is independent of any of your efforts, any of your works, any of your goodness. Anytime you inject works... works or performance or anything into the situation, it ceases to be grace. It is no longer grace. Romans chapter 11, listen to verse number 4. For if by grace, it's no more works. And if by works, it's no more grace. God says you cannot have it both ways. You're either saved by grace or you're saved by works. And I'll tell you what makes this old country boy jump is I'm saved by grace. I ain't saved by how good I'm a living. Amen. I'm telling you right now. So anyway, he goes on through there and he says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Boy, isn't it an evil world? Isn't it an evil world? And God delivered us from that. Now he said, according to the will of God, our Father, there's that sovereignness to it. And then he says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'll tell you what, let's just say that verse together. Would you say that? Let's just say it all together. Tonight. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Hey, you say, well, I'll tell you what, Reggie, I ain't like you. I don't get excited. Well, I feel sorry for you. But don't let me ever catch you at a ball game with your little 7-year-old boy knocking a home run. I know you're going to sit there and be dignified. But I'm going to tell you something right now. To whom be glory? Why? What's the glory about? He saved us by his grace. Amen. He saved us by his grace. He gave his son and to deliver us from our sins. And he gave himself for us. Now, so he starts that out to the Galatian believers here. Now, he's addressing the problem. Now, churches have problems. And I'm going to tell you, from the time immortal, Satan always tries to mess up church doctrine. And these people had gotten saved. Paul led them to Christ, established a church. He had left. And while he's gone, some rascals came in. They're called wolves in sheep's clothing. And they did something, and Paul's getting ready to talk about it. He's going to address it. Here it goes. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him. Oh, listen, you ought to underline from him. Hey, you don't worry about getting removed from religion. Don't worry about getting removed from your denominational line. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Don't be removed from him. Amen. He said, I marvel. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the, not religion, but into the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. He said, I can't believe you guys knew the truth about the grace and you let some rascal come in and start mixing works with grace and messing you up about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now watch what he says in verse number 8. Now this will get you. You know, I just love to hear about people's visions and about how angels came and talked to them and how they had Jesus stood at the foot of their bed. Don't you just really get a kick out of that? And how Jesus gave you a message apart from the Bible. That's dangerous stuff. Amen. That's demonic. You listen to me? You listen to what Paul tells these people. He said, verse number 8, though we, He said, I don't care if I came back and changed my message. You don't believe it. Or an angel from heaven. He said, if an angel comes from heaven. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. Angel popped down here and landed on the stage and raised his hand up and said, I'm an angel from heaven and I've got a message to tell you, church, tonight. Did you know half of you can go out and just, woo! With the Liberty Faith Church, and an angel came down. Paul said, I don't care who it is. I don't care what kind of manifestation it is. If they tell you something different than you're saved by grace, you do not believe them.
Amen.
He said, I don't care if I came back and told you, well, I've changed my mind. In fact, he's going to deal with that later in the deal. If I change my mind and I don't think it's by grace anymore, you don't believe me. He said there, if an angel could preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached to you, let him be what? Accursed. That's serious business. Yeah. Then verse number 9, as we said before, so say I now again. He's going to repeat himself. You don't see this hardly ever in the Bible. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. If anybody comes to you, listen, if anybody comes, I don't care what preacher, I don't care what name is, if he comes to you and tells you that the grace of God is not enough in itself alone to save you, God said he's accursed. You get away from him.
Amen.
Go ruin you. But all over this country, did you know most denominations in Wright County believe that it's grace plus how you live? Yes, sir. Most churches in America believe that it's grace. Yeah, we're saved by grace, but we have these certain rules that our group kind of has. And if you don't eventually follow them, we're going to tell you you've lost your salvation. No, get quiet on me. Say amen. It's the truth.
Amen.
Then you say, well, wait, watch this now. If you're brazen enough to say, well, what things do I do that makes me lose my salvation? Well, you'll know when you get there. Well, could you be specific and give me the verses? No, but you just mark it in your day book. You can, you keep that up and you're going to lose your salvation. So what are they telling them? It's up to you. That the grace of God wasn't enough to save you and to keep you saved. And that you're truly not saved by grace. He's going to bring this out. The big issue in this book is going to be about there, and this situation was about circumcision. We'll see it. It's really, to me, it's funny. We'll listen to it. Verse number 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Now, again, I'm going to kind of intermingle this preaching business with this. Are you ready? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You got to make up. I got that underlined in my Bible. I've got that marked big time. That I cannot worry about pleasing men in the ministry. And if I do, I quit being the servant of God.
Amen.
Okay, that's just part of preaching. It's part of the ministry. By the way, it'll just be part of anybody's Christian life. You can't worry about pleasing everybody else. You've got to please God first, okay? Verse number 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me just be honest with you tonight. Salvation by grace through faith in what Christ done in his substitutionary work actually is a revelation of the Holy Ghost. We are so prone in our flesh to think that to be saved, we've got to do something, be something, quit something, start something. But our flesh is prone to be that way. We think it's in something we're going to do. We cannot really hardly believe that it's just by the grace of God, by his kindness, by his act of sovereign kindness that he forgives us, saves us, births a new person, makes us his child, born again of the Spirit of God. It's all him. It's not how good I live now or in the future. We just can't hardly bring ourselves to that. Did you know it took a rev? I'm just being dead honest with you. I had been saved for 2-point-some years before I literally began to get that revealed to me by reading the Word of God. Reggie, it's not by works of righteousness which you do, but it's according to his mercy he has saved you. Quit thinking it's how good you live that saves you or keeps you saved. You are robbing God. You are stealing. You are destructive to grace. And when I hit that, when I realized that, by the way, you got to understand something. That before you're saved, you have only the flesh nature. After you're saved, you have the Spirit of God. You have a new man. The Bible talks about going to Ephesians, Colossians, the old man and the new man. The old man is the flesh. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against, that's in this book right here, and the Spirit against the flesh. And the two are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. When you get saved, there's two natures in you. There's an old nature of the flesh. There's a new nature of the Holy Ghost, which is created in true righteousness and true holiness. And it's not some man-made concocted bunch of rules that if you violate one of them, it's the holiness and the righteousness of Christ imparted to you by faith. The only righteousness that we have is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I don't have any righteousness of my own. All of my righteousnesses, plural, all of them, is just filthy rags. The best day you've ever lived is like filth, like a sewer lagoon in the sight of Almighty God. And if Christ does not give you His righteousness, you're lost and on the road to hell. Amen. That's grace. And it's the truth. And let me just be honest with you. Now, you listen to me. There was a time in my life I'd have nearly beat you to death my Bible over this issue because I just thought, you had to live up certain standards and you'd lose your salvation. What, let me ask you a question. According to you, what does it take for you to lose your salvation? According to the group that you affiliate with, what does it take? Have you ever asked your pastor? Have you ever asked the preacher? What must happen for me to lose my salvation? What deeds, acts, thoughts, words? You see, if you're saved by that type of thing, by doing or not doing something, you're not saved by grace and you're not saved at all. Amen. You listen to me. The man who wrote that, well, let's go on because he's going to tell him about it. Verse number 12, verse number 13, for ye have heard my conversation time past in the Jews' religion. Underline that, Jews' religion, Jews' religion, Jews' religion. We're not preaching religion here, we're preaching salvation. The Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Let me tell you something. He went around killing people. Read the book of Acts. Hailing people into prison, killing people. Paul was a murderer. And he thought he was doing the work of God. And he hated people who said they were saved by grace. And he hated people who said you didn't have to keep the Mosaic law to be saved. Because if they were right, he was wrong. And his self-righteousness was tore down. What was the Pharisees' problem? Self-righteousness, 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 self-righteousness. He said they're full of self-righteousness. And any man that's full of self-righteousness cannot appreciate nor receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. There has to come a time in your mind and in your heart and in your soul when you quit trying to be good to be saved, when you quit trying to live up to everybody else's expectations, when you fall at the foot of the cross and say, God, I need your mercy. Let me tell you something. A man who's self-righteous does not need mercy, but we're saved by mercy. That tabernacle, that throne is a mercy seat. And a woman who does not think they need mercy doesn't even know about salvation. Amen. Listen, I know what I'm talking about. I was raised in it. Oh, we're slick with it, though. We still say it's the cross. We still say it's the blood. We still say it's the grace, but... Anyway, here it comes. And profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Listen to his pedigree here. Verse 15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, and here's this sovereignty. You tell me why God called Paul. Called me by his grace. Underline that in your Bible. He called me by his grace. You can't explain a lot of stuff God does. It's sovereign. God does not check in with you about what he's going to do and who he's going to call and what he's going to do and things like that. It's just the way it is. And here's what he did in verse 16 of that call of his grace, to reveal his son in me. That's what God wants to do with you and I, is to reveal his son through our lives. And let me say something to you. Christ cannot be revealed accurately if we believe in our own self-righteousness. Listen to me. Christ is not revealed in us as long as we think that we are good people. Until we see ourselves as guilty, condemned, hell-deserving sinners, that never measure up, that come short of the glory of God, and are saved by the grace of God, Christ is not revealed in us. It is a false Christ that's down to our level of religion. Now, he says they're preached, and he said that he revealed his son to me that I might preach him among the heathen. And I would again say to you, preach him, preach Christ crucified. Don't preach the denominational line, the family line. I could tell you some stories, make the hair come up back of your head, but whenever I was revealed to me in Scripture that I was saved by the grace of God, not by how well I lived, I had the job of, I was pastoring, and everybody in our church believed you could lose salvation. And all of my family, that's what we'd been raised in. And it was very, very difficult for me to tell them, I no longer believe this stuff. It was very hard for some of them to understand. They felt like I had forsaken the truth. They felt like I had abandoned the truth. And it was very hard, not easy. But I had to come to a place of pleasing God and not man. I knew in my soul, let me just tell you something. I was preaching. I want to ask you a question. How many here thinks that preachers might ever have a lustful thought? Do you honestly think preachers would ever have a lustful thought? Oh, I know some of you think everybody's so sanctified, holy, they never sin, but you don't know your Bible. Let me tell you about that stuff. What'll happen is you'll start redefining sin, and some things won't be sin to you no more. I want to ask you another question. Do preachers ever lie? Do preachers ever have bitterness? Did they lose their salvation? You say, well, they hadn't done enough times yet. Well, show me in the Bible how many times, because I really need to know. I want to use up all my times. Do preachers get angry? How many times you got to get angry and lose your head before you lost your salvation? You see, oh, I know the dope heads. Yeah, if you went out and smoked dope, you lost your salvation. But I just get angry, and that's righteous indignation. And, you know, I redefine, and I rationalize, and I justify my sin. It's not sin any longer. People are not honest with themselves. That's why John said in 1 John, my little children, if you say you don't have any sin, you deceive yourself. The truth's not in you. Amen. He's talking to Christian people. I ask you a question. You say, well, that's New Testament. No, let's go back to Philip. Anybody ever heard of a guy named David? I believe the Bible said he's a man after God's own heart. There's a guy sinned like nobody's business. I mean, if the level of sin that man descended into is unreal. If I had my way about it, Lot would be burning in hell tonight. If I only read the Old Testament, I'd think, man, that guy is one wicked, sorry, low down. But your Bible says he was a just man. And you ain't got a right to change the Bible. In fact, if it is that you and I tonight, if we had a nephew named Lot, we would say, there's no way that man's saved. Do I need to remind you what he did? He called Sodomites his brethren. He offered his two daughters to him. Then he wound up committing incest with his own two daughters. And your New Testament book, Peter says, that righteous man vexed his soul from day to day by the ungodly deeds of the wicked and calls him a just man. I read that and I read that and I read that. I said, God, how on earth can you call that man a just man? If you ever get the concept that he gave us eternal life, it'll be over with for you. If you ever believe your Bible about that, it'll be done for you. Okay, here we go. Let's go. We got a rope. He said immediately, this is wonderful. I love this. He revealed his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately, I went to Bible college and seminary. I'm preaching now the New International Version here. Get this. Immediately, he conferred not with flesh and blood. He ain't going around to every preacher in the country and say, what do you think I'm going to do? 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 You know what most preachers need to be? Is along with God in this book. get along with this, but I want to tell you something right now. If you read 10 to 20 chapters a day, get out in the woods, get on your knees and say, God, I need the power of God on me and give me something to preach. I'm going to tell you what, you'll come in so full. You'll come in so full. I mean, you won't be able to get it all. They'll be there till 3 o'clock in the afternoon if you just give it all to them.
Amen.
I'm serious as death. Take you a notebook and a concordance and a King James Bible and read that Bible and say, God, give me something for your people. Did you know God wants his people fed more than most preachers ever dreamed they want fed? He really does. Now, so he said, I conferred not with flesh and blood. Great truth there for those who want to convey the word of God. All right. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me. I didn't go up to the denominational headquarters and check in with them boys and see if I could get a church somewhere. We're all upside down in this country. Our whole system is, it automatically makes us weak because we're going to men and not to God. This is what your Bible's teaching. He said, I didn't confer with man. I didn't go up to Jerusalem and talk to the bigwigs. In fact, we got to run. Get this is so good. Verse number 18. Then after 3 years. Oh, you mean it didn't happen all night? All of a sudden, Paul? No. Did you know what? God often takes more time to get us where he's taking us than we want to wait on. After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Now, I want you to know something. He went up to Jerusalem. He saw Peter. And Peter said, hey, Paul, won't you stay with me? Stay over at our house. Paul said, well, you sure be all right? Yeah, come over and stay with me. I want you to keep this in mind because him and Peter's going to have a falling out later. Church folk would do well to get this one here. He stayed with him 15. Paul stayed at Peter's house for 15 days. You reckon they were glad to see him go? Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and hate thee. How many's ever been glad to see somebody go? How many's ever picked up your phone and go, oh no. I won't go there, amen. But just keep that in mind. Now don't blame me. I'm having a good time tonight. This book, I love this book. Here we go. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. You know what he's saying? I wasn't buddied up with all the big preachers and all the big apostles and all that stuff. I didn't get around all that. I wasn't around all that. Now the things which are right, verse 20, unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown. They didn't know who this man was. I was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. Paul walked into church some Sunday morning. They didn't know who he was. By the way, that's where you got to get. I tell you what, we had the most sweetest thing happen here at our church just recently. They took those there big wig seats off. They're back yonder now. You're sitting back, Sid, you're sitting in the big wig seat back there. And you know, those are I don't know why they took them off. They never asked me about it. Because I go up here and I sit and cross my legs and look out the congregation every Sunday morning. Do you know what? Years and years ago, God told me, said, don't you sit on that platform. Like a cocky peacock. You sit over there and worship with the rest of them. You don't sit up there and act like you're some big wig on the platform. Danny, I bet you walked into church and the preacher said, come up here on the platform. Paul walked in. They didn't say, who's he? Amen. Will you be all right if you walk into church and nobody knows who you are? Are you okay with that?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Anyway, forgive me. I'm just having a good time. Verse number 23, for they had heard only, this all they heard about, and said, he which had persecuted us in times past now preaches a faith which he once destroyed. Can I tell you something? Some of these dodos that's knocking windows out and marching in the street and cussing their head off, God's likely to save and make one of the greatest evangelists in America out of some of these Antifa bunch. That's just like God.
Yeah, it is.
It is. And you and I need to pray, oh God, save them wicked things, amen. And we don't need to look down our self-righteous nose. I mean, I get mad at them and I want to whoop them. And I would if I had to. But I'm telling you, wouldn't it be great for God to save some of them rascals?
Amen.
And say, I used to go around cussing America and cussing everything and tearing statues down, but God, one night, God got a hold of my heart. I read a tract or I heard a message and God saved me. And now the things I used to try to destroy, I want to build up. Amen. That's how God operates. Amen. God ain't looking for some self-righteous peacock raised in a perfect home, never did anything wrong to preach the gospel. He don't know how to reach people like that. And verse number 24 said they glorified God in me. Now, watch chapter 2. Then 14 years, you mean 3 years? Now 14 years, here 17 years. Are you waiting on God? How many's ever waited 14 years on God? Sometimes you get saved, you think, God, I got to make, oh God, and even if we surrender to preach, we think, God, I got to go. I just now surrendered. You got to get on my timetable. After 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me. Now, this thing's fixing to get Swiss. It's going to get sweet in the church house here. Now, hang on. He said, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. Now, here's some wisdom, but privately to them which are of reputation. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If Donald Trump came to, I don't know whether Donald Trump's saved or not. He sure don't talk like it long. But he acts like a man that knows the gospel, that knows truth. He makes decisions that men who said they were Christians didn't have the guts to do. And the Bible says, talks about you'll know them by their works. You aren't saved by your works, but you don't. Anyway, he comes up there. If Donald Trump walked in church tonight, I wouldn't jump up and say, hey, Trump, are you saved or not? I ain't doing that. That's stupid. You don't want that done to you. Paul said, I went to these people of reputation privately, and I talked to them. You don't just blam blast somebody. You don't walk up to a guy in a crowd and say, you're going to heaven or you're going to hell? You're not saved? What do you mean you're not saved? You don't do that. Pull him off to the side. Say, hey, I want you to know something. I care about your soul. Have you ever thought about where you're going to spend eternity? Could I give you the gospel? Privately. Jesus talked to Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews, privately. There's wisdom in that. You don't embarrass people trying to prove your spirituality to them in public. Okay? Here we go. Now, he said, privately in my reputation, lest by any means I had run in vain. Now, watch verse 3. We're fixing to get into the real meat of this whole book. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, which is a Gentile, was compelled to be circumcised. Now, here's what's going on. These Judaizers, these people that had come in behind Paul and were subverting grace, were telling people this. Oh, you're a follower of Christ? Well, yeah, I got saved 2 weeks ago. Have you been circumcised yet? No, well, you're not. Are you going to be circumcised today? No. You planning on next week? Well, not really. You're not saved. They were adding works of the flesh to grace. And Paul makes a statement. He wasn't compelled to be circumcised. Now watch this. Verse number 4, who was with me being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And why? Verse number 4. And that because of what? What is it, everybody? False brethren. What's a false brethren? What's a false brethren? He's a liar. He's one who claims to be a brother, but he's not. And these false brethren, here comes Titus in, he's a Greek, compelling to be circumcised. Hang on to your head a little bit. And that because of false brethren, watch this, unawares, brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus. And there's a reason, here it is, that they might bring us into bondage. Brother Josh, are you saved? When did you get saved? 1989. Have you spoken in tongues since you got saved? No. You haven't? Get up here. I'm going to slam you down the altar.
I wouldn't.
You would let me. You'd run. Now, let me just tell you something. This goes on not in the public setting so much, but in the private church services, they start working on you. Well, have you spoken in tongues since you got saved? Well, no. And they'll take you to a passage of scripture in the book of Acts, one scripture, and they'll try to prove to you that if you haven't spoken in tongues, then you're not saved. It's the exact same stuff that's happening right here in the book of Galatians. So you say you're saved, you haven't been circumcised, you're not willing to be circumcised, you're not saved. Now, let me tell you something. The Bible said, by their fruits you shall know them. It's true, but your fruits don't save you. listen to me. Fruits do not save you. Fruit is a result of salvation, not the basis of salvation. The Bible also said that there are things that accompany salvation. And if those things aren't there eventually, you can kind of, you know, make it. You know, so if oranges is coming out on that tree, it is not an apple. Okay? If there's thorns on that tree, it's not a peach. It's not a peach. But that takes time to see that come out. All right? God is saying that. But that's not the same thing as telling somebody that because you're not this or that, you're not saved. Okay. This morning, how many members of my smoking story? Cigarette story. All right? Same thing. Getting a lot of, be honest with you, a lot of churches, you especially used to be in the country, if you got saved but you didn't quit smoking, didn't really get saved. He didn't get it. Where'd you find that in the Bible? Now, I'm against smoking. I hate it. I auctioneered for 40-some years, and I'd be a crying my guts out. I can't. Now, some guy walk up and go. And I'd want to go. I'm trying to sell. I'm using my voice, all right? Danny, you know what I'm talking about. I don't like smoking. I just don't like it. I think it stinks. Now, chewing tobacco, that's another thing. I used to chew good money tobacco, twist, rotten stuff. But this Bible doesn't say if I quit chewing, I get saved. I hate it now. And I had to beg God to give me deliverance from it. It's bad for your testimony. Oh, I can see you walking up to some poor lost man going, bah! You ever been saved or not? I can see you walking up somebody, skull dripping down both sides of your mouth. I want you to know I really care about your soul. Bad for your testimony, amen. But I tell you what I like, but bad for your body. How many cancer lip and mouth cancers come from skull? Anyway, they said, verse number, he said that false brethren that brought in privily spied our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, bring us into bondage. To whom, now you watch what Paul says, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. Now I want to tell you something. I'm serious about this tonight. I believe in modesty. The older I get, the more I believe in modesty. Amen. This Bible teaches modesty if it teaches anything in this world. And for you to go around showing your body is sickening. It's blasphemy. I'm telling you, it's sickening. First thing God did with the first people he ever saved was cover them. Amen. Besides that, who do you think wants to look at your ugly legs? I know you think everybody does, but they don't. But I want to ask you a question. Girl comes in here and she gets saved, or she's just been saved a month. She's wearing a miniskirt. 3 months down the road, she still ain't bought a new dress. You going to start thinking she's really not saved? What's your attitude going to be? How long did it take God to get you away from some stuff? Guy comes in with a nose ring. I know you want to clip that thing and jerk it out. I know that. But he's in here 3 months. He gets saved, you know, and he's happy. He's up, and he comes up to sing. Are you going to want him singing in the choir with his nose ring? Good land, this is going out over the broadcast. But he's just happy as a lark. But he's just hates to let go. He gave $35 for that nose ring. He hates to turn it out of his nose. But are you going to tell him he's not saved because he don't get rid of his nose ring? Are you the Holy Ghost? Am I the Holy Ghost? Yeah, I'm going to preach on it. But the honest truth about it is him pulling his nose ring out 1,000 times is not going to save him. Right. He's only saved by the blood of Christ and the grace of God. Amen. I'm just being honest. I believe in standards. I really do. And I believe I ought to dress right, spit white, and everything. I know that's racist now, isn't it? Dress white, spit white. Dress right, spit white. I'm sure that's racist. But anyway, whatever. Isn't it sick in America?
Yeah, I can't say anything.
Can't even say black is the ace of spades. Can't even say white as snow. You're racist! dumbest country I ever seen in my life. Anyway, now this is where it's going to get fun. Paul said in verse 5, to whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour. He said, I didn't put up with that for one solitary hour. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. He said, I didn't put up with it because I don't want the truth of the grace of God to continue with you. Now watch verse number 6. I love it. But of these who seem to be somewhat. You know what a somewhat is? Somewhat. It's kind of like saying the Reverend Jackson. You got to say it right. Somewhat. You ever been to a conference where there were somewhats? Somewhat. Those are the guys that said, that's why I don't sit up here on the stage. Those are the somewhats. Wouldn't that make a good name for a singing group? The somewhats. We're going to have the somewhats. I told you I was going to have a good time. Amen. He said, I don't like this kind of good time. I'm sorry. But anyway, they seem to be somewhat. I love this statement. Read your Bible. It's so funny. Whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. Woo! Paul went up to the denominational national meeting. And they were, they have 40 of them sitting up on stage. Paul said, I don't know who they think they're somewhat, but I don't know what they are. It don't matter to me what they are. This is hilarious. It's funny. It shows the stupidity of our religious bigwig stuff. Oh, so you're the pastor of Liberty Faith Church? Yes. That's your church? No. I mean, really, honestly, if I would let people, and you know the bad part about that is that only lasts for about 3 months. And then that's that sorry dog. They flip on you, amen? No, I'm going to tell you what, this is so funny. He said that whatsoever they were, it made no matter to me. Now watch this. God accept no man's person. Go to the book of James. You know what it says? Here comes that guy in. He's got the good apparel on. Boy, he looks real spiritual. Got his hair cut right. Carrying a King James Bible big as a basketball. He walks in. He's got that slick look. And I'm going to tell you what, he's got just that right look. Oh, man, here's a King James Bible believing. Ooh, woo, 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 woo. Come on up here and sit down by me. So here comes that guy with a ring in his nose. Don, get him a seat there in the back somewhere. That's bad stuff. Here's what God says. God accepteth no man's person. Amen. You see, yeah, but he's wearing a coat and a tie. Really? Really? I've had people, how should I dress when you come up there? I guess you ought to be dressed. Don't come naked, amen. Be dressed. I mean, here's what I'm getting to. Do you think a person can wear a pair of overalls in this church? Well, let's have a vote on it tonight. We're going to allow overalls in this church. All in favor say amen. Amen. All right. We're going to allow denim jeans in our church. Amen. Some of you wouldn't come if you couldn't wear your jeans. Amen. God's not interested in all this stuff. Amen.
That's right.
I'll just go ahead and get it. Just well get it over with. Get it out like a bad tooth. Young lady come to church. She's wearing a pair of breeches. Sat down by an older lady in our church back here. And the older lady turned to her and says, you shouldn't be wearing that to church. Last time she ever came. First and last time. I've had people tell me, I hear you, a woman has to wear a dress to your church. Well, if I had my way about you, would. You know why? Because women ought to dress like women and men ought to dress like men. But you know what? I ain't even going to tell you how I used to dress. Give people some time.
Amen.
Give people some time. Give them some grace. And it'd be better for you to be an example to them than run your mouth at them. Let Reggie run his mouth at him. Let him get mad at him. Amen. Just the old. Somehow or another, God will take that. I mean, I'm serious with you. Don't. Be real careful about it. Especially don't prop yourself up as being spiritual because the way I dress and the way you dress is not spiritual. That's wrong and that's wicked. Okay? Now, said, for they who seem, I love this. This is the last part of verse 6. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference. in conference. You got to say, How many notice that when you get into the real top tier preaching stuff, you got to go, Some of you wish I'd shut up and let you out and go home, amen. You've seen enough of this nonsense. Hey, this stuff's real, though. This kills churches. And it ruins the gospel of grace. And those who seem to be one somewhat in conference, now I want you to look at this statement. Added nothing to me. The biggest wigs in that conference added nothing to Paul. Danny, I'm sure you've been there, but when I was a young preacher, I used to go to conferences. And they had a conference and had the pictures of all the big shots that were going to be preaching. And they always had this one big, big, big shot. I mean, he was the man. I went to a conference one time, and it's okay, but this guy was the man. I mean, after everybody else preached, then they bring the big, here comes the big show. He comes in with this top coat on. On the back of it, he's got lettering that says, what was it? Not for sale. Not for sale. You know what? If you're not for sale, you don't have to put it in black and white on the back of your top coat.
That's right.
That's all show.
Amen.
That's all show. And then here's what happens. Now, I watched this. I saw this going on. After the conference is over at night and they're having the big food deal in the back, all the young preachers at the conference was following him around like dog puppies. Wherever he went, they went. And they followed the somewhat. Because they wanted to be somewhat someday, too. Send this to your favorite denominational bigwig. He'll love this message. Let me tell you what's going on. I'm talking about preachers.
Yeah.
The average deal going on in America is to bring the young God-called preachers under immediate submission to the denominational leaders, and you're going nowhere unless you kowtow to us. Yeah. If you ever try to preach anything except what we tell you to preach, you will go nowhere fast. We'll make sure you don't get a church to preach in. You will have no meetings. You follow along. That's what's going on in this country. And I'm you know, having a good time preaching this because I'm kind of like Elijah was at Mount Carmel.
Oh boy.
You're not cutting yourself enough. Come on. Maybe your God's asleep up there. Ring, holler a little louder. Get him, you know, Elijah kind of had a strange sense of humor.
Yeah.
Come on, you ain't hollering loud enough. Maybe he's off on a trip and can't hear you. Maybe he's asleep and can't wake him up.
Yeah.
These somewhats really need to be kind of mocked a little bit. They need to be put in their place because they've ruined this country. They've ruined a lot of good young preachers who just were called of God. All they wanted to do is preach the gospel, win people to Jesus Christ, and they wound up saluting and going to the conference and bowing down to the somewhats and never preaching anything that didn't match the line. And it's sick. Anyway, here we go. So we get down into verse number 7. But contrarywise, when they saw the gospel of uncircumcision was committed to me. Now, what does that mean? The Gentiles, uncircumcised. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. He said, was committed unto me, and the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter. Peter was the apostle to the Jews. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. God directed two different types of people, needed two different types of ministries and two different types of men. Here comes verse number 8. Now remember that he spent 15 days at Peter's house years ago. Verse number 8, for he that wrought effectually to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. He's saying, listen, God worked mightily in Peter to those of the circumcision. He worked mightily in me toward the uncircumcision. Look at verse number 9. And when James, Cephas, who is Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars. Now, that's a wild statement. The Holy Ghost wrote this book, who seemed to be pillars. Now, Reggie, I'm going to tell you something. I believe in pillars of the church. I believe there's people who's just going to be there when the storm's over with and they're going to hold that thing up in the human sense, okay? It's not against there being pillars in the church. But when you start bragging about being a pillar in the church, then you have a problem. Okay? He said, who seem to be pillars, perceive the grace that was given unto me. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. They did not fist bump. I'm going to throw this at you. They didn't high five. I'm an American Christian. I shake hands. Don't fist bump me. Don't give me no high five. I don't care if you like it or not. That's the Bible. They didn't fist bump. They didn't high five. They shook hands, right hands. There's a purpose in that. That's a fellowship sign. That's a Christian fellowship sign. That's why in America, I'm going to tell you something. I like to, my first time I went over, not first time I went over, first time I went over to Israel, we come down from Israel into Moab there and got off down there in the desert and finally got a restroom stop. And I mean, you talk about the middle of nowhere. It was the middle of nowhere. Jumped out of the bus, and there's hanging over here a bunch of dead goats, about half-skinned, half-gutted. It was killing goats and people coming in buying goat meat. Well, there's a bunch of Arab boys there, about teenage boys. So I thought, well, I'm going to walk over and, you know, I'm here. I'm going to walk over and say hi to them. So I walk over there, and I stick my hand out. I mean, there's four or five of these young Arab boys, and I stick my hand out, and I noticed they kind of went like this. Well, I just kept sticking my hand out. And finally, they kind of, like that, shook my hand. Well, I got back the bus. I bizzed with them, had a good time with them. Got back the bus. The bus driver says, Reggie, don't do that. I said, what do you mean don't do that? He said, don't ask to shake those guys' hands. He said, they use the bathroom with their right hand, and they don't touch anything with their right hands. You're not in America. And those aren't Christians. He said, their right hands aren't clean, and they know they're not clean, and they didn't want to make you dirty, but they didn't want to disappoint you by not shaking your hand. It's true. True deal. So I went back and washed. I'm going to tell you something. Talking about this COVID-19, let me just tell you about this stuff. I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. I can't stay away from people because of COVID-19. Right. If you're sick, I want to go see you. If you're sick, you need help. I don't want to say, I can't go see you. You're sick. I'll tell you what. How'd you like for a doctor to tell you they can't see you because they're afraid they might catch COVID-19? That's a bunch of nonsense. Amen? Anyway, get off of that. They gave us the right hands of fellowship that we should go into the heathen, that's the Gentiles, and they into the circumcision. So they were going to two different mission fields. Here we go. Now, verse number 9. Only they would that we should remember the poor. And that's a good thing. I'll tell you right now. God wants all mission people, all ministries to remember poor. Hath not God chosen the poor rich in faith? I'm going to tell you right now. Go to the book of James. He said that poor man comes in and said, you treat him right. Amen. Remember the poor. Churches ought to always remember the poor. We ought to be the first ones to help people that's in trouble, needs help. Anyway, the same which I also was forward to do. Now watch verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. We got trouble in the church house. Why? For, in verse number 12, before that certain came from James, Peter, he did eat with the Gentiles. He's over sitting out at the table eating pork. Are you with me? You're going to say, why? Now, I'm not going to take the time to go back. Is it 8:24? Oh, my land. Some of you have already missed Gunsmoke. Some of you don't even know what Gunsmoke is. That's so old. Lord, help me. We're going to get through. We'll try to get down through verse number 14. We'll quit. Okay, here we go. He said he was over eating pork and ham sandwiches with the Gentiles. Watch this now. But in comes the somewhats. And he jumps up from the, he goes, oh my land. He jumps up from the table, acts like he doesn't want anything to do with the Gentiles now. And acts like he's a Jew and won't eat that unclean stuff. Now to get the whole gist of this, you got to go back to Acts chapter 10. Peter was on top of the house praying, right? And it all of a sudden he got hungry. And God let down a sheep from heaven. And he said, Peter, eat, rise and eat. Oh, Lord, I don't eat none of that stuff. Nothing that's ever touched my mouth. And he said, what I've cleaned, you don't call unclean. What he was doing was preparing him to understand the gospel was going to the Gentile people, the people he considered unclean. And if God cleaned them, they're clean. Amen, amen. All right. He said, before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself. And here's the key, folks, fearing them. The Bible said the fear of man will bring a snare. Preachers cannot fear what other preachers think about them.
That's right.
It'll trap you. It'll get narrower and narrower and narrower what you can preach. And Peter had a problem fearing what those men would think of him having associated with certain kinds of people, which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him. Now, here's what happened. Peter was an apostle, a pillar. When he dissembled and said, "Oh, I ain't eating with them Gentiles," a whole bunch of people said, "Well, I guess I better not either." And that's what will happen when you get works binding together with grace. Everybody, it starts to become a movement. And all of a sudden, these things will cause you to be lost and not be in the group. And he said, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Now, that word dissimulation, dissemble, means division. They were creating division in the work of God over this issue by spiritual pride. Verse 14, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all. It got tight in the church house. Paul walked up to Peter, and this is what he said. If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest? Remember the compelling early in the chapter when they compelled Titus to be circumcised? Compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews. You know what he was saying? You're being a hypocrite and you're perverting the gospel of grace and you're making these people think they're not saved or they're at a different level of salvation than you are because of your Jewish traditions. Verse 15, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing, now watch this, folks, get this. He's going to go straight to the heart of the issue. Knowing, not wondering, assuming, but knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. But I want you to get something here tonight. I can't even comprehend this myself. I'm going to preach something tonight. It's in the Bible that I have not comprehended myself. Watch this carefully. That a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Verse number 20 says, he lives by the faith of Jesus Christ. Is it your faith or his faith? What's your Bible say? But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified, here it is again, by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So here's what I'm going to close out tonight. I don't care what issue it is, what subject it is. If it is added to the grace of God, it is wrong. And you have perverted the gospel and it's no longer grace and it's no longer the gospel. And Paul said, they're cursed. Don't add anything to grace. Now, I started to say something a while ago. And you can go across the country, and I'm not against groups. I thank God for groups and denominations and so forth that are doing the work of God. But somewhere they might say, well, if the dress isn't down to here, they're not saved. And if the hair's not down to here, they're not saved. And if the hair's not this, and if it's not this, they're not saved. And if they do this, they can't be saved. And if they do that, they can't be saved. Folks, that's all this stuff right here is talking about. That's what it's talking about. Circumcision was the big issue. Then eating certain things was the second big issue. And they were making it part of their salvation. And that's wrong. Now I'm going to tell you something tonight. I hate television. It'll poison you so fast, make your head swim. I've preached against it for years. But if you watch television, that's not whether you're saved or lost. That does not determine. You not watching television does not save you. Let me say something further tonight. I'm probably the strongest advocate for a Christian-based, biblical-based education of anybody in this country, whether that be a Christian school or whether you want to homeschool, whatever. But you listen to me well. Just because somebody goes to public school doesn't mean they're lost. You listening to me? I wouldn't send my kids there, and I'm honest with you. You'll do well to keep them from being robbed by the world just, trying to give them a Christian education, biblically based, Christ-centered education.
But let me tell you right now, a saved person who attends public school is not lost because they attend public school. That is not your salvation. Everybody getting the message? Your salvation is through one thing, Jesus Christ, His shed blood, His sacrifice for our sins. And all these other, these are side issues, and they're sanctification issues that God will deal with you individually about through the years. And by the way, there'll be some things that'll be a conviction to you that you do not think should be done, and I won't see anything wrong with it. Some of you think it's a wicked sin to watch Andy Griffith. You should see some of the faces. I mean, seriously, have you ever had a conversation with somebody and you find out they don't believe in doing this? They don't believe in eating ice cream. I mean, somebody who don't believe in ice cream can't really honestly, I don't think they could be saved. Do you, ma'am? I tell you what, one time, this honest truth, this is so funny. I had an auction for a Mormon. This is hilarious. I had an auction for a Mormon. I was booking the sale, got everything together, you know. And so we're getting everything set up. You know, I got to get the toilet there, and I got to get the food people there. And he was talking about it. He said, well, I got some people. I said, well, just have them to have coffee and pop. And, we don't drink coffee and pop. He did not want coffee at his auction served to anybody. Fine. We'll drink water. Let's stand. Let's go home.